and welcome to another DevOps Fundamentals episode. In this episode, we're going to talk to you about configuration management. Cool. I'm as always with the other episodes in the series, I'm Thiago Almeida. You can find me on Twitter at nzthiago. And with me today, I have Greg. Greg, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Greg Oliver. I'm a technical evangelist on the DX TED team. I work with partners to help them migrate to the Azure platform.
Cool. And you can find Greg on Twitter as well. And his blog, which has some pretty cool information. We were checking it out earlier on, and also on GitHub. All right. Good. So with all the other episodes, we covered the software development lifecycle and where this topic might fit in. And with the topic of configuration management, I put it sort of between the dev test and release because you can apply this concept to all of the environments that you have, not just production or not just dev. So I put it in between development and testing and release itself. And as usual, we have this mapping of a DevOps frame. With most of the DevOps practices that we talked about here, we have the 100 level, and in this case, it would be continuous delivery, ensuring that your environments are can be reconfigured exactly how you want it across multiple different environments, and be able to deliver code that is good and tested to all of them at any time and multiple times per week. And then, of course, on the practice itself, this is the configuration management practice. And then finally, from there, you can map to different products from Microsoft or from others. And today, the ones that we're going to cover are PowerShell, DSC, Azure Automation, Chef, and Puppet.
Yep.
Cool. So to get into what configuration management means, we're basically going to give you the textbook definition of configuration management. So that's the process in which all of the artifacts, everything that's relevant to your project, and the relationship between them are stored, retrieved, and uniquely identified and modified. So that means that a continuation or an extension of infrastructure as code is the next level where everything inside the infrastructure is also in a way that you can configure and see the changes between versions. And of course, a lot of this falls into saving that into some central code repository. But as long as you can define it as files, and you can see changes between one and the other and configure not just the infrastructure, but the projects, the processes and things that are in there, that is considered configuration management. The questions that you could ask yourself when you're talking about configuration management, for example, is can you exactly reproduce your environments from all the way from an operating system, the hardware behind it, the patch levels, the software stack that's on top of it, like .NET or the Java runtime, and the apps that are deployed into it. So if you can reproduce that, you're probably getting quite a long way into it. Can you easily make incremental changes to any of these and deploy them to any environment? And then finally, can you trace the changes back to an individual person or an individual commit into your code? And where it was made and all of that. So those are some of the questions that you should ask yourself. And if you can, then you're probably doing pretty well in the configuration management area.
Good.
And we just have a little animation here to show you the deployments going into the environments and the configuration. Cool. So as with the other episodes, so this section here, it's pretty quick, and then we're going to jump straight into demos. Unless you want to talk a little bit more about the what you think configuration management is.
No, I'm all about the demo.
All right, great. So let's do it.
Okay. So in the demo, I'll be showing configuration management, but I also wanted to put it in the context of continuous deployment, which is a key practice inside of DevOps. With configuration management, we think in terms of configuring the infrastructure, as Thiago was just saying, but also configuring the contents of the VMs in their various roles. So the ARM template in Azure Speak these days, Azure Resource Manager, you can write a template And that template describes the infrastructure, which is network, storage, compute, and all of the various details involved to build out an application, to build out a SQL cluster, to build out an Active Directory cluster, and so on and so forth. And then you can actually add configuration to the template in the form of VM extensions. That allows you to define the details of what goes into each VM. So it can either be on a VM by VM basis, or it can also be classes of VMs. So web tier, for example, each of the VMs in the web tier can be identically provisioned by the same configuration. So that's the top half of the slide.
In the bottom, this is pretty important, because when we talked about continuous deployment in the other episode, we showed the demos that we showed were all based on your solution. So we had an Azure web app with a soft SQL database and continuously deploying into environments that same solution. Mm-hmm. But this goes a little bit further to include the actual infrastructure, what runs inside the infrastructure to support that application as well.
Yep. And so the bottom half of the slide, again, just to put it in context with continuous deployment, is you have your various cycles of development, and then you deploy through some sort of build and deployment tool, generate packages or whatever you need to deploy into your environment, and then those changes get picked up by the VMs.
Yeah. Cool.
So this is the architecture of the demo that I'll be showing. I won't be showing actually the code and the build and deploy and package, but again, that's just to put it in context. What I will be showing is three VMs, one of which is being configured by DSC Pull Server in Azure Automation. Another is being, the configuration is being stored by a Puppet Enterprise server. And the third is being configured by a Chef server.
Cool.
So now I'm going to exit from the PowerPoint and flip over to the actual demo. The first thing I want to show in the demo is the various management servers and the list of nodes currently under management inside those servers. So in the Azure portal, I go to my automation account. And you can see here it says DSC nodes, and currently there's zero in the list of nodes. And there's a reason for that. I'm going to build that node during the demo. The next one I want to show you is Puppet Enterprise Server. I'm just going to refresh this just to make sure my credentials are still current. And you can see here in the list that GoLive Pup VM is under management. It's got a little green check mark. It says it was unchanged 9 minutes ago. That means that that VM is actually checking in periodically and reporting back its current state to the Puppet Enterprise server. And we can see that that's in a good state. Next one I'm going to look at is Chef. Under Chef management, I have one here called GoLive Chef VM. And it also has reported in recently. Let me go ahead and refresh this page just to be sure.
It is interesting how the VMs themselves are the ones that report into the server side.
Yeah, the configuration is stored on server side, and the VMs check in periodically to see if there's any changes to the configuration that's been set up for them.
Yeah.
If there's been no change in the configuration, then they check their existing configuration and see, are there any differences? Have I drifted? And if so, it'll try to bring it back. Mm. If there are changes at the server side, then it says, oh, okay, well, I need to add this new application, I need to add this new firewall rule, whatever it might be, and it'll come into sync.
Cool.
So as you can see, the configuration is here, and that's already in the list. So great, so I've got three VMs. I've got, the one for DSC management doesn't exist yet. The one for Puppet you saw just a second ago, and the one for Chef is on the screen. So let me go ahead and kick off the template, the ARM template, that will build that DSC server. Okay, so I'm going to create the resource group, and then let's see. Go ahead and run the template.
Cool. You'll see this is very similar to the one that we ran in the infrastructure as code, but this template goes a little bit further, right?
It does, a little bit further.
Yeah.
Not that I actually saw what you did earlier.
No.
But as you can see, there's resources in the template, storage, public IP addresses, virtual networks, and so on and so forth. But what I think Tiago's referring to is down here way at the bottom, after the VM, is actually a specification for a VM extension. And that VM extension is what is going to load up PowerShell DSC.
Right.
It will load up the Windows Management Framework version 5, production preview at this point in time. It's going to reboot the computer, and then it's going to pre-configure the environment based on these criteria. There's a registration key for my Azure Automation account.
Right.
There's a URL to my Azure Automation account so it can sign in and interact with the environment. And then there's a few details about how frequently it should check in, what its configuration name is, and so on and so forth.
Cool.
So all of this configuration is being baked into that VM as it's being created. Mm. And then as soon as that VM comes up and that extension is installed and working, it's going to check into the DSC Pulse server at Azure Automation, find out what its configuration is, pull that configuration down, and then set itself up accordingly.
Right. That's really cool.
Yeah. So while we're waiting on that, and we can see here that
the progress,
it's working, we can go back to the Azure portal and take a look at its progress. So while we're waiting on the DSC configured machine to come up, I wanted to show you some of the details of the configurations that are going into these machines. I'll start with the one that's going into the DSC managed machine. And so there's a list of DSC configurations here. Webhead config is the one that I'm using. And I can look at the view configuration source. And under configuration source, you can see there's a PS1 file that's been ingested into the Azure Automation DSC Pulse server and compiled. The source says that for this type of node, I'm going to load Chocolaty installer. I'll get around to Chocolaty here in just a few minutes. And then I'm going to load a Windows feature. I want to load the web server feature. And I want to load a few other Windows features in support of that web server capability. And then I'm going to go ahead and create a few firewall rules. And then I'm going to use that Chocolaty package installer that I referenced before to go ahead and install my little application, which is a trivial little web API application.
Right.
So back to Chocolaty real quick. I'm using Chocolaty in all three environments. Chocolaty is a package manager for the Windows environment. If you're familiar with Linux environments, you may be familiar with applications like apt-get or yum, which can allow you to say, you know, sudo apt-get nginx or sudo apt-get, you know, MySQL and so on and so forth. And it'll download the packages and dependencies and install that information, that software onto the computer. And you can do exactly the same thing on a Windows computer with Chocolaty. You can actually say Chocolaty install Notepad++. And it'll install Notepad++ onto your computer. So the next configuration I wanted to show you is the one for Puppet. And for that, I actually need to use an SSH shell that I've got set up talking to the Puppet server. And that configuration is in a file in the file system. Here's the name of the Puppet node that I'm configuring. And you can see here again, I'm including Chocolaty and I'm including Firewall. So these are basically modules that can be included into my configuration. Think of them as libraries with resource provider capabilities. And so then I define a firewall rule, I define my Windows IIS capabilities and all the various Windows features necessary for that to work correctly for a web API application. And then at the bottom, you can see again where I have asked for my little trivial web API application to be pulled over from myget.org, which is the place that I'm using for my package repository.
Right.
So if we kind of shrink this just a little bit and move it over here to the side, you can see there's not a lot of difference between these two configurations. These configurations are designed to be both descriptive, but also terse. So it's very easy for a sysop or for a DevOps guy to just
to
very quickly
yeah.
you know, this is what I want, make it so.
Right.
So the third one I'd like to show you is, go ahead and just take a look at Chef Manage. You can take a look down here at the bottom at the configuration of this VM, Go Live Chef VM. It says that my run list is my web API Choco, which is, you know, my web API application using Chocolaty to do the package management.
Right.
And so to find the details of my web Choco, I run into the policy section. And it says there's no items, but I don't believe it. I'm going to refresh. There we go. So there's my web API Choco and the content for that. Let's make this a little bigger. Under recipes, there's default. And there it is. You can see again, I'm including Chocolaty. I'm including firewall. I define IIS. And I define a few firewall rules. And finally, I say to Chocolaty, please install Go Live Web API from my myget.org repository.
Cool. And so that package then installs the your API, the web API that you created onto IIS.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So I built the web API based on the Visual Studio template.
Yeah.
And that was one project inside my solution, my Visual Studio solution. And then I added another project to the solution, which is a Wix.
Right.
Solution for building a package.
Yeah.
And so I configured Wix to go ahead and package up the assets for the Web API app and create an MSI.
Right.
All of this runs inside of VSTS. I can literally make a tweak to the code in my Web API solution, a project, and then test it, check it in. And then if I've got the little checkbox that says, you know, build on check-in, it'll build automatically.
Yep.
It'll go through all the machinations necessary to create the MSI. And then it actually stores the new version of the MSI in myget.org for me.
Right.
It updates my new spec. Everything's all automated.
Cool. So that's also take advantage of what we showed in the continuous integration episode here is you're using it for whenever you update your web API to package it up and push the package up to myget.
Right.
Yeah. Cool.
Exactly. So let's take a look and see if we have finished deploying that DSC computer.
And from an infrastructure perspective, you have one VM. We have one VM for the Puppet Master. The Chef is hosted. DSC is the PowerShell Automation is a service on Azure.
Yeah.
And all those are just the managers of the configuration that you want to do.
Exactly.
And each one of those, you have created a virtual machine on Azure for each one of them to manage and to report back into those.
And I'll show the diagram again here in a few minutes, just so people can get oriented again as to what we've been talking about. So we've waited a few minutes for the DSC managed computer to become ready. And so let's go take a look. You can see now from before, it said DSC nodes was zero. Now there's one because the VM has automatically registered itself. We also waited for it to go ahead and finish its compliancy. And so if we check in a little bit on the details, we can see that it's in a compliant state. And there's a nice report of all the different steps it took. And if you looked at it very closely, you would see that it installed IIS and all the features that we asked for. It installed Chocolaty and a few firewall rules, and then it installed my web API application.
So it reports as compliant once it's finished installing everything that you asked.
Yep. And then every 30 minutes, actually it's every 15 minutes, it checks back to see if the configuration has changed.
All right.
And even if the configuration hasn't changed, it's going to check to see, am I still in compliance with the configuration that's currently in place? So great. So the next thing to do is just to verify that all this stuff worked. And to do that, I have a browser here. I'm just going to copy these URLs and delete the page and paste it back in. So here's the Chef one, and it popped up. And here's the Puppet. Let's grab his pointer and create a new page, paste it in. And the Puppet's working, and then the DSC copy that. Put a new tab, take a look, and there it is.
Cool, so that's the same web API that you had in the package.
It's the same web API that I installed in the package, and I know because out here at the end, I actually added a feature to the application. Here it's reporting the version number 1.19.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. So, all right, so let's go back to the slide.
Yeah.
And just to show your architecture again.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
That's fine.
Oh, okay, done it. All right. Fantastic. So just a quick review. I previously built and deployed the package, and so it's in place and ready to go.
So that is on.
It's on myget.org.
Myget.org. Yeah.
Right. I had created and started up my Puppet server. The Chef server is the hosted Chef server that they maintain, and I loaded the configuration there previously. And then the configuration for the DSC managed server was loaded in previously as well, and creating that VM, loading the DSC VM extension, getting that DSC extension running, then the VM checked in, pulled down that configuration, said, oh, okay, I need to install IIS, I need to install some firewall rules, I need to install Chocolaty, and then Chocolaty was asked to go ahead and install the web API. And so that's
cool.
That's it.
And fantastic. That's the usual slide that we talk about the resources that we have. Make sure you check out the hands-on labs. We don't have a hands-on lab that is directly related to configuration management. We have one on infrastructure as code and a few of the others, so do check them out. And we have a few other resources here, like the DevOps Dimension Show, where we interview people from both inside Microsoft and from companies that we know that are implementing good DevOps practices. And we talk to them about what they learned and the best practices that they got from there. So with that, thank you again, Greg. And thanks, everyone. We'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks.